Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Welcome, people loved by God, to this the fifth weekend of Easter to worship here at Chapel of the Cross. Welcome everybody here who's in the building in the sanctuary today. We also welcome those who are watching or listening online. Welcome everybody to church. For those who are online, just a reminder, you can go to our website, which is chapelofthecross.org. And there under the Resources tab, you'll find a place where you could find the bulletin for this service. You could print that out or just put that out on your screen and follow along. There's also a tab there for giving your offering to the Lord and His church, and you can click on that and follow the instructions there. Just a few announcements before we worship today. A new discovery class is starting soon. Originally, that was going to start tomorrow, but we're actually going to be starting next Sunday, March 9th. Please join us for discovery class. It's Sunday, the 9th of May, starting at 9:45 in Room A. A reminder that on May 8th, a week from today, Chapel will be partnering with Mike Miller of Day 3 Seeds and hosting Garden Fest here at Chapel of the Cross. So that Saturday will be a fun day of some plant sales and some garden demonstrations, an opportunity to give and to support the ministry of Pastor Raymond Kaija, who is working among the refugee camps in Uganda, and also a kickoff of a local ministry sharing raised beds and gardens with our neighbors here in North County. So please join us Saturday the 8th. That starts at 10 in the morning. You can also register by calling the office to receive a tray of 4-inch assorted garden flowers and vegetable plants. So if you come, if you register and you come, you'll receive those when you come on that Saturday. More information about that is in your weekly. There's also a flyer at the Welcome Center that has a lot of information on that. We are going to hold a outdoor cleanup day here at Chapel on Saturday the 14th of May, and we'll be here from 9 in the morning until 3 afternoon. You can be here that whole time, or you can just stay an hour. It's up to you, but we'd love to have your help as we clean up outside, a little spring cleaning outside. Your help is appreciated. That's May 14th, 9 to 3. And this past week, students at Concordia Seminary received their vicarage placements and their calls, including our own seminary field worker, Jake Bellinghausen, over here. He was called as pastor to Grace Lutheran Church in Vestal, New York. And we certainly wish you God's blessings, Jake, as you go soon to serve there in New York. And we wish God's blessings to all the seminary students who receive their calls or their vicarage placements. About a year and a half ago, God called home to heaven our good friend, Pastor Orv Miller. One of the great blessings that God gave to us through Orv was his gift of preaching the gospel. And Orv's granddaughter, Jordan, and Clara, Orv's wife, compiled a number of his dialogue sermons that he preached while he was a pastor in the ministry. And they've been published in a little book that is now available at the table over by the office area. And you can pick up your copy of that book of Orv's sermons for just $7. Those are available there at the table, and I encourage you to do so if you'd like to. God's blessings to you as we worship this day. We begin our worship by listening to that opening hymn, At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing, printed on page 2 in your bulletin, or if you're using your hymnal at home, that's hymn number 633 in Lutheran Service Book.
You have conquered in the fight. You have won. shall rise, alleluia.
And of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what you have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved you as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Risen Lord, you are the vine and we are the branches. Apart from you, there is no life. By baptism, you have grafted us into your gracious life. Cause your word to abide in us and make us fruitful to the glory of your Father, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we turn our ears to the hearing of God's word. Our first reading today is from Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot
and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture, this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm will be read responsively. It's Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our epistle text today comes from 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We join our voices in confessing the faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, out of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit with the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ever ask a farmer what they're growing? Now, something I've found is that farmers, in general, I think, are pretty subdued kind of individuals. But if you get them going on what's growing on their farm, well, then they're actually pretty passionate people. And they can talk to you, and they can talk to you all day about their corn or about their soybeans or, in the case of my grandpa Shuknik, who was a farmer, his pears or his peaches or his apples growing out in his orchard. Going to the farm during the summer, that was one of my favorite things to do as a kid. And it was always kind of fun to ask my grandpa what was growing in his orchard. You know, we suburban kids, we had no clue. We didn't know what grew when. We didn't know what came out at what time. So we always came to Grandpa and say, "Hey, Grandpa, what's growing?" And it was always fun because we could always go out into that field and pick them right from the tree and eat them. That was our first question to him when we arrived. "What's growing in your orchard, Grandpa?" Jesus is actually talking about orchards in our text for today. Well, specifically, he's talking about vines, probably grapevines in the orchard or vineyard. And in a way, today Jesus asked his disciples and he asks us that very same question that we asked my grandpa. What's growing in your orchard? It was Thursday night before Jesus died, and a lot had happened that night. A lot had been said that night. And we remember that. We walked through those days and that night with Jesus not that long ago. The disciples and Jesus, they had gathered together for that Passover meal in the upper room. Jesus had washed his disciples' feet. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper with that wine and with that unleavened bread that they were eating. Judas had gone off to betray Jesus. And then Jesus had predicted Peter's denial. Jesus knew what that evening and what that next day was going to bring, and so he comforted his disciples, and he promised them the Holy Spirit. And then when they were done with the meal, Jesus got up and he says, "Okay, guys, come now, let us leave," because it was time. It was time for the Son of Man to be betrayed, and it was time for him to go to the cross and to die. And so Jesus and his disciples, they stepped out into the streets and they started walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And maybe on the way, Jesus saw a vineyard. Or maybe they passed by the temple and they saw the huge carved vine and grapes that were on the front of that building, a symbol of Israel. And there was still time yet for one more lesson. So Jesus says, "I am the true vine." That seems like a little bit of an odd thing to say, doesn't it? "I'm the true vine." But I don't think those disciples were very surprised to hear Jesus say something like that, because he did that all the time. He talked in parables and metaphors. His whole ministry, that was his style. That was how he taught. In fact, they had heard Jesus say, "I am the way and the truth and the life." They had heard him preach, "I am the door. I am the bread of life." Last week, we heard in the text from John 10, "I am the good shepherd." The disciples had heard him say, "I am the light of the world," and even, "I am the resurrection, and I am the life." So it wasn't strange at all for Jesus to say to them, "I am the vine." And to this metaphor, Jesus even adds a little bit. He says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Beautiful illustration. Very simple illustration. Every one of those disciples knew about vines and branches. Grapevines were all over the place in Israel. They knew how they grew. They knew the simple fact that if you cut off a branch from the main vine, then it would just die. They also knew their Bible. In the Old Testament, that pictured Israel as the vine in the vineyard of God. Isaiah chapter 5 says, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." Jeremiah shares God's word to Israel. He says, "I planted you a choice vine." Hosea puts it as a word of judgment. Israel is an empty vine. Thinking of God's deliverance of his people from bondage, the psalmist sang out, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt." So they would understand this imagery, this picture, as Jesus says, "I am the vine. You are the branches." And it's so simple and so clear. I am where you are nourished. I am where you are fed. I am what gives you strength. I am what supports you. I'm the very reason that you are alive. I am the true vine, and you are the branches. And Jesus goes on. He says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." What's growing in your orchard, disciples? You're the branches. And as branches, I want you to bear fruit. I want you to show that you are connected to the true vine. I want you to show that you are being fed and nourished. And with your fruit, I want you to nourish others. You are my branches, my disciples. Bear fruit. That's what I want growing in your orchard. What's growing in your orchard? Do you have some fruit growing? What kind of fruit might that be? St. Paul gives us a little list in Galatians. It's not exhaustive, but it'll do. He says, there's some fruit of the Spirit that's given. How about love or joy or peace? Do you have some patience, kindness, gentleness? How about some goodness or faithfulness or self-control? Do you have any of those fruit of the Spirit growing in your orchard? What do you have growing in your orchard? After all, we are branches, just like the disciples. So we should have something growing, right? But do we? Do you have something growing? We might have some just beautiful branches, but what about the fruit? The reason I ask that question is because sometimes it seems like we don't have a whole lot. In fact, sometimes it might even seem like we're not very well connected with the vine at all. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But how often we are just that, apart from Jesus. You know, we look at our lives, and very often we see a mess. There is sin in our lives. And there's living, but only for me, sometimes in our lives. There's time, but sometimes there's time only for me in our lives. And we get knocked off that true vine, or maybe pulled off by the devil and his temptations. Or sometimes we're just kind of gently nudged away from the true vine over time. Doesn't really matter how we become separated from the vine. Fact is, when we are separated, we wither, Jesus says. And we die, Jesus says. And we don't bear fruit. And I tell you, that's very, very dangerous. Jesus has a word for those who don't bear fruit. Listen to what he says. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. That's serious stuff. You need fruit, Jesus says. What good is a branch if you're not bearing fruit? Because fruit is that sure sign that there is saving faith, living faith in the Lord. Makes us pause a little bit, doesn't it? Makes me pause anyway. Makes me think a little bit. You know, Christianity is not just coming to church once a week, singing a few hymns, saying a few prayers, and then going home just to kind of forget about it until next week. Being a disciple of Jesus is a lot more than that. It's producing fruit. It's living that faith that we have. It's showing that we are connected to the true vine, and not just on Saturday night or on Sunday morning in church, but every day of the week. So how do you produce fruit? How does that fruit of the Spirit come out in our lives? Because I think you know, and I know, we are not fruit trees by nature. You know that, right? I mean, we're more like weeds than anything else. How does a weed born in sin bear the fruit of the Spirit? And actually, that's the really good news in this whole thing. Because guess who the farmer is? Well, it's the Lord. And guess who plants? He does. Guess who waters and weeds and fertilizes? God does all that. Guess who prunes so we grow better, so we produce more fruit? Well, it's the Lord. He's the one who plants and cultivates and nurtures and produces that spiritual fruit in us. All you got to do, Jesus says, is remain in me. Other versions of the Bible use the word abide. Kind of like that better. Abide in me, says Jesus, and you will bear fruit. In fact, in these short 8 verses of this text, he says those words or words like them 10 times. Think that's important? To abide in him? To remain in him? Well, it's the key. Abide in Jesus. And we look at how we abide in Jesus, and we see him blessing us the whole way. How do we abide in Jesus? Well, we abide in him by taking his body and blood in that bread and wine at Holy Communion, like we're going to do tonight. And you look at how Jesus blesses. That's Jesus' body and blood that we take. It's Jesus who died on the cross to give us that blessing. It's Jesus who gives us the forgiveness of our sins. We abide in him by hearing and reading and studying his word. And you look at how God blesses. God gives us understanding as we read the word. God shows us that salvation plan unfolding. God assures us of his love and his care and his mercy as we see him give his only son for us to die. we abide in him as we speak to God in prayer. And you look at how Jesus blesses. Because Jesus listens. He promises to listen. And he answers, always answers. He promises to answer when we pray. In fact, Jesus prays to the Father when we can't think of what we ought to pray for. He prays for us, even interceding on our behalf. We abide in him as we worship, like we're doing today, and as we praise him in song. And you look at our God blesses. It's our Lord who gives us something to give praise for. It's our Lord who comes to us in the word in worship. It's our Lord who makes our hearts glad as we worship and as we sing to him. And as we abide in him, he blesses. He blesses over and over and over again. And he produces fruit in us. And he makes it grow. What's growing in your orchard? If you abide in Jesus, and he abides in you, you will have fruit in that orchard. Beautiful fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit that lasts. Fruit that you can share with others. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.
Our biggest hope is to share the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection to all people, that many may be drawn to new life in your kingdom. Make us mindful of the poor and the oppressed, and touch them with the love of Christ through our words and deeds. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, guide President Biden, the Congress, and all our leaders, that they may serve well the public trust. We ask you to lead all nations and all peoples in pathways of peace, justice, and freedom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, be with all who need your special healing and your care, especially those who are suffering from sickness or infirmities, including Carolyn Hammond, who is hospitalized, Ilsa Hornick, who is now under hospice care, and Bill Rickard, who is undergoing surgery this week. Give to them the grace that they need, Lord, to remain faithful in their time of trouble and preserve them to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, you are with us in many different and special ways. We thank you for your presence with us through the gift of Holy Communion. And we pray for Zoe Lush, Jonah Meyer, and Audrey Windsor, who will be receiving communion for the first time. We ask that as they receive your body and blood, they may know that their sins are forgiven, that they have eternal life with you now and forever. Strengthen their faith in you so that every day their lives may reflect your love for them and that other people may see you in them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our God, we thank you for your many blessings. We especially praise and thank you this day with Jack and Sue Black as they celebrate their 57th wedding anniversary. Continue to bless them, Lord, and keep them in your love and care. We also praise and thank you along with Daryl and Melanie Williams upon the baptism of their son, Henry Lawrence, tomorrow morning. Guard Henry with your angels and bless him in every way. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all those committed to the spread of the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for those who have heard the call of your Holy Spirit to serve as pastors, deaconesses, chaplains, missionaries, and other leaders. And today we especially pray for those students who this past week received calls and assignments to the ministry through our church body seminaries. Empower them, sustain them, bless them and their families. Be their inspiration and their strength, so that the work that they do in Jesus' name will touch the lives of many and will bring glory to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, take ye, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Sweetest rain on earth, oh, how the peace was born.
we now take and eat the very body of Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of our sin. And take and drink the very blood of Christ, shed for you and for many on the cross, for the forgiveness of all of our sin. We stand. Now may this eating and drinking keep and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in the Lord's peace and in his joy. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for having fed us with your life-giving food. Strengthen us through the same and help us to rejoice in your mercies that we grow daily as fruitful branches of Christ the vine. Finally, in your mercy, grant us a portion with the saints in light eternal. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit are one God, world without end. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together. Hallelujah, Jesus is risen.